Yeah, Curtis Bay. 43 and 44 mm-hmm. season.
When did you go into the service?
November of 42.
Were you single at the time? Or
single.
Did you,
I was single then. I was single. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did you take your boot camp?
Boot camp was up in Manhattan Beach, up in New York.
Yeah.
And then I
took it the same place.
Yeah. Then I got transferred up to Marblehead, Mass. Mm-hmm. And then I played basketball up there, at Marblehead, Mass that year. Mm-hmm. I played up there that season. Then I got transferred from there. That's where I ran across Jim Higgin up there. He played with Boston. Mm-hmm. And I got transferred. Duke Zilber was a good friend. Well, he was an outlet director down at Curtis Bay.
Is this Bill Zilber
now? No, Duke Zilber is the man who's associated with Wilson Baseball Company, baseball.
Zilber.
Duke Zilber.
I see.
And Duke was in the athletic program down there, mm-hmm. Curtis Bay. And he found out I was up there. He wrote me and wanted me to come down. And I had to put a request in to get transferred. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Higgin wanted me to play for Boston Coast Guard up there.
Mm-hmm. When you say Boston Coast Guard, was that Marblehead?
That was Marblehead. That's the headquarters. Okay. They were having a baseball team that year.
Yeah.
And when Zilber found out I was up there, he wrote me and asked me to put a request to get transferred down there, which I did. And that's why I got down to Curtis Bay.
Fine.
Then I went down and I played basketball. I finished the basketball season up down there with him. Then the spring, we started our baseball program down there.
And you said that you were the third baseman?
Third baseman. 2 years.
Where did Gordon play? Yeah.
Gordon played left field.
Yeah.
And Sauer played first. Mm-hmm. Mickey was second. Wittick second. We had Luke Klein. Hank Del Savio was our shortstops.
Mm-hmm. Well, I say two shortstops.
And then we had Jim Schilling. He was our center fielder. And Teddy Sapkowski was our right fielder. Mm-hmm. And catching, we had Matavichek. He was in the Detroit chain, mm-hmm. Only Detroit. Pitchers we had, Kerr.
How did he spell his name?
K-E-R-R. Okay. Buddy Kerr. He was with Pittsburgh. Okay. He's a Baltimore boy. And then we had
Floyd Gable.
Floyd Gable was with us. A fellow named Sipple. Charlie Sipple.
I understand that club was so good that you used to beat the daylights out of Major League.
Oh, yeah, Major League Club. Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh. We beat Pittsburgh 16-5.
Did you really?
And we knocked take out of Buffalo. We beat Washington. We beat, they played Cleveland. They beat us there in Cleveland. They beat us there. Mm-hmm. And we played, Norfolk had a good ball club. They had the Rizzitos were down there. Pee Wee Reese was down with Norfolk. Kramer, Hugh Casey.
Yeah.
Don Padgett. And, there was a bunch of them there. Benny McCoy, mm-hmm. they had him there. L.B. Fletcher. Eddie Robinson. They had quite a ball club. Two Norfolk teams. Then we played all the service teams around there, like
Quantico.
Now, when
you say the two Norfolk teams, that would be the regular Navy and the Air Station.
It was Air Station and Navy. That's right. We played about a 7-game series. And then Bainbridge had a good team.
Yeah.
Bainbridge had a heck of a ball club. Yeah, Kramer.
You played each other plus major league.
That's right, major league clubs. Played about 125 game schedule. Yeah, he played almost every day. Sundays we'd have off. That was our off day Sunday. Then we played in the city league there. We played in the city. We played double on Sundays, so we always kept ourselves in good shape.
That's great. Now, how did you find time to do Coast Guard work? I mean, was it just, you knocked off work?
Well, we were special service. We knocked off at noontime, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, get ready for the ball game. We started ball games at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
As soon as the bases closed up, we could play our ball games there. We were like morale builders.
You say that most of you were seamen and wanted to stay that way,
that's
so you wouldn't get shipped to another part.
That's right, yeah, they could curve us that way, yeah. They took care of us, yeah.
Good. Now, would the major league clubs play when they came through Washington?
Yeah, they stop and play us there. Pittsburgh would play us, or Red Sox would play us. We'd play them a game, exhibition game. Mm-hmm. Benefit for the boys, servicemen.
That's great. Did you have large crowds?
Oh, yeah. We'd pack them in. All the veterans.
Thousands?
Oh, yeah. You got your training station there. The training station would be there, and the regular guys from the Coast Guard from our place would be there.
And you say that you went from Class D to the Coast Guard team to the majors.
That's right.
Do you consider the service team, that is the team at Curtis Bay, your training grounds? Was that more or less the
stopping grounds. Yeah. That team would take any team in the big leagues today, I think, that Curtis Bay team we had.
So So in effect, you were learning.
Oh yeah. That was good. Good training down there. Good background down there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were the circumstances under which you joined the Indians in 45?
What do you mean?
Well, in other words, how did the Indians get in touch with you?
Well, I belonged to them. I was their property at the Wilkes-Barre. See, I was supposed to be signed to Wilkes-Barre, but I didn't the report. I went right to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Dick Porter was our manager, and Dick Porter played for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And Dick recommended me to Cleveland, mm-hmm. plus Pittsburgh. See, they knew Pittsburgh was after my contract, because Pittsburgh contacted them to buy me.
I see.
And they won't let me go. In fact, they followed me up to... We played against the Bushwicks, and I had a scout talk to me, and he told me if I got my release in Cleveland, I hadn't ever have to work a day in my life.
Who were the Bushwicks?
That was New York. New York Bushwicks.
Okay, now was that one of the Negro League?
No, they were white ball clubs. That's where Cuccinello and them played with them. Tony Cuccinello, he played with them, with the Bushwicks
see.
At times.
Was it a semi-pro then?
Semi-pro.
Oh, I see.
And we played Pittsburgh, and Frisch and C.C. me play down there, and they had me followed, and scout talking to me between ball games and told me to get my release in Cleveland. If I got my release, why? I never had to work a day in my life. They take good care of me. See, that was the break. And then that's why I got to Cleveland. And I contacted Cleveland for my release and trying to get an excuse to get my release, but they wouldn't give it to me because
okay.
I was underage, you know. And I had the signature of my mother on the contract and they wouldn't let me go.
Mm-hmm. How old were you at the time?
About 21 years old. I was at Cleveland then. Mm-hmm. I was about 21. So
now,
I saw my contract. I was about 17 with them.
Yeah. Okay, so you got discharged from the service, and then you joined Cleveland for what, training?
No, spring training. Yeah, I joined him in spring training.
Where was spring training?
That was in Lafayette, Indiana, Purdue University. That's where we trained.
Tell me about it. Well, how was spring training in Lafayette?
That was all right. It was okay. I think it was better than down south. It wasn't too hot. One good thing, you know, you saved yourself. It's Trenton Hall.
Yeah.
And when it was bad weather, we went inside. We trained inside in the gym and all the indoor gym they had. It was a dirt infield they had built for us.
Mm-hmm.
When it was nice weather like this, we went outside and we trained outside. So it wasn't too bad. 50 wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we played Pittsburgh a couple of games. We played them over at... over in Kansas there and different places.
No, I think they were
we worked in Muncie. We only played them in Muncie and then we
did
played them in Indianapolis.
In
Wilmington? Well, and then we played them in Indianapolis and we worked our way right into Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't too bad.
Good. Now, where did you live? Did you live in a dormitory on the Purdue campus or a hotel?
Well, no, we stayed in a hotel right down in town. That's where we stayed. And we used to take the bus and then right up to the ballpark. And we trained right there in the stadium there, right in Purdue. Purdue Stadium.
How was the weather that year? Did you have any snowy days or any
We had a couple of bad days. But then during the season was rough. We had a bad season. It was always raining during that season, I remember.
No kidding.
We had bad. It was a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
Rain almost mostly the season rained. Rain all days.
Now you say that you started off the season at third base.
I started working out in spring training at third base and.
Yeah.
Then I went in front of Boudreaux a couple of times for a couple of balls and, you know, getting a good jump on the ball and all. And
mm-hmm.
told me I would, if he asked me if I ever played second or short, and I told him I liked to play short but not second.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me, well, you had to stay over after everybody went to stay over a little bit more and work me out at second base and see how I do. And Oscar Manolo was our coach then. So he started working me out at second base, and that's where I stayed, at second base. He said, I was a natural there at second.
Mm-hmm.
Then I used to work out a second, short, and third, and whenever the one needed me, that's where I was at.
And you said that when Boudreaux broke his ankle...
When Boudreaux broke his ankle, I took over. I went from second base over to shortstop and took over for him.
Mm-hmm.
But then I played a lot of third base for him there, too, because I played in the service and all, and that's where I landed up at second and third.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right, now what happened after the 45 season? If I'm not mistaken, that was your only big...
Now, see, what happened there, I busted my ball up in Cleveland, and I busted my nose. I banged it up in Chicago. I thought I was doing good. I was in about 280,
mm-hmm.
and I busted my nose in Chicago. I had a broken nose, and I played with a headache all season, so I couldn't pick my glove up. I used to bend down to pick the glove up.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, I had a bad break. And
this happened during the season.
And in fact, I didn't play about the last couple of games because I couldn't see a ball. My eyes were already shot. I couldn't pick a ball up. And they were supposed to operate on me in the fall of the year, and they never did. And I was signed to Baltimore.
So they just shipped you out.
I got farmed to Baltimore, and I went down to Baltimore, and I had a good year at Baltimore. I played every ball game, every inning, every out, That's the exhibition ball games, the playoff games. They missed an inning, they missed an inning. I went from second to short, mm-hmm. alternating. In case, you know, they didn't make a short, I bounced over to short.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to go back to them, and I said, no, I refuse to go. I want to stay at Baltimore. Because
no,
it was closer to home, you know.
Fine. So how long did you stay in organized Baltimore?
Well, I spent about 7 years in Baltimore. I guess, let me see, 7 in Baltimore. And then in the winter time, I used to go down to the tropics. I used to manage in the tropics in Puerto Rico and Venezuela.
No kidding. Great.
And down to Dominican Republic. And then I went down to San Antonio. The following after that, down to San Antonio. Then from San Antonio, I landed up at Wilkes-Barre. Then at Albuquerque. Then I finished it up at Allentown. So I finished up at Allentown. As a player coach at Allentown with the Red Sox.
No kidding.
And I got out of it.
I see. So when did you stop? What year?
About 59, around there. 59? Yeah, the boys were growing up, and I figured I just needed more at home.
So you were in organized ball a long time.
A long time, yeah. Then, like, in the winter time, I used to manage in the tropics. And
mm-hmm.
5 years, and I was with Arroyo and them fellas down there.
Probably played with them at Baltimore club with George Stoller. Right?
With George, yeah,
yesterday.
George, yeah, with George.
Nice guy.
George was our right fielder, yeah, George. And he's coaching now. George is a heck of a nice guy.
Yeah.
Sherm Lawler was on our ball club. Eddie Robinson, mm-hmm. he was there. Third base, and we started off was Phil Segge, but he didn't stay with us too long. He's with Cleveland now. Shortstop was Bob Repez.
Mm-hmm.
Howie Moss was with us then.
Mm-hmm.
Sue Campbell, Johnny Ward.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, back in 45, the Indians played part of their games at Municipal Stadium.
They played Municipal Stadium, and they played
Park.
Them at the Leake Park.
Now, tell me about Leake Park. What was it like?
Leake Park was a short right field fence, about 280, with a big screen up there.
Yeah.
And it shot out the center field, I guess, about at least a good 500 feet. The left field was a good drive, about 380. It had bleachers out in left field.
Like Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, see, there was no bleachers in right field in the park, just the screen.
Yeah.
In fact, I stayed home playing. I used to throw against the screen for Pat Surrey to feed him off the screen and throw him into home. Break him in, instead of hitting fungos, I used to throw him against the screen for him.
No kidding, really?
Throw him into yeah, I just had a good arm.
But why didn't they just limit their games to one park? Were
well, they wanted the crowd, I guess, the Sunday crowd. And the Sunday crowd and a few night games they played down in for the crowd.
Mm-hmm. But the rest of the games
was played in the afternoon over at Leake Park.
I see. Now, what happened to Leake Park? Was it torn down eventually?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, yeah, what happened. I guess they figured they got a better deal over there at Municipal Stadium. I guess they left to go, give it back to the city.
What impact did the return of Feller that season have in the club? I mean, were the men happy to see him return?
Oh, yeah.
It's a question of, well, you know, here comes a star, so one of us
is going to lose a job. Feller, he was the left of the club. He was good. And in fact, never thought Feller was wrong. He was one heck of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He never was big-headed or nothing like that, and he did his work, he ran, and was a good guy on the bench. He was always, you know, pepping up on the bench, and it was a big lift.
Did you ever face him as a batter?
No, batting practice, and he was rough. He was rough, yeah.
You know, it's funny, he's known as a smoke thrower.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Yet so many players, like Bob Meyer, though, he interviewed in Jersey last night, the third baseman on the 45 Tiger Club.
Yeah, that matters.
Said, that his curveball just fell off the table.
Okay,
he had an outstanding curve
right.
to go with.
That's right. He was fast, and his ball always moved.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave you 100% out there. Feller was a good worker.
You say his fastball moved. Did it move up?
Moved in, out. Moved anyway. Because when he was on, he was on. He was rough.
Did ball he know which out. Way it was going to
no,
go?
No.
Or could he control it? No, he was wild.
He gets wild. I guess he couldn't control it. And he had to stay loose with him up there. Yeah, he was rough. He could throw. He was one guy that hit in batting practice. Hey, nobody wanted to see him throw batting practice.
Do any opposition pitchers stand out in your mind?
Well, Neuhauser was a good pitcher.
He gave you trouble?
Oh, he gave it trouble. Neuhauser. And then Bobo Newsom was a good rough pitcher. For a couple of things, Bobo was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was good. That was Ruffing. Ruffing was a rough pitcher.
Mm-hmm. How about Ferris or Trout?
Well, Dizzy Trout was good. Dizzy was a good pitcher in his days. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
Then Marshallton was good from Washington. He was good.
Yeah. Did the knuckleballers give you trouble?
That's where, Wolf, they were rough. They had a good ball club that year. They were rough.
Yeah.
They were good. Red Ruffing. Good. And then he had this Christopher from the A's. He was rough. And some ring pitcher, he was a rough one.
Mm-hmm. let's talk about the Indians players for a minute. Before I start mentioning specific names, do you want to comment on any of your teammates that year? Any that stand out in your mind, either as players or individuals?
Well, Boudreau. I like Boudreau because I learned a lot from Boudreau. Because Boudreau, he wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the fastest, but Blue played his hitters, and he knew just where they were going to hit the ball. He believed in playing the hitters. And he got a good job. He's a good jump on the ball.
That's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, because Lou never played back. He always played shallow, and he studied the opposition pretty good. He was a good man.
What kind of a manager was he? A rah-rah type, or basically quiet? Or
no, Lou was a quiet type. He was a quiet guy, and he got along good with the men. And I liked him. I didn't see nothing wrong with him. And he was one of the best men I ever had, I guess, in baseball. I ran across. You did your work for him. He never had anything to say. He never said anything to you if you did your work for him. Mm-hmm. He got on some ball players, but no, he wasn't that rough.
I see. Would you say that the morale in the Indians was good?
Well, I'd say it was good. It was good. Everybody was happy. Had a good morale. Mm-hmm. And he was all right. I liked Lou.
What kind of a guy was Mel Harder? I think he was finishing up.
Yeah, Mel was a good man. He was a good man. He always helped the young pitchers out, the young fellows out. Mel had a good curveball. Mm-hmm. He was good, and he was well liked. They all liked him. Then we had guys like Frankie Hayes. He was always around to help out. He was a good man. Frank was a good man. Jeff Feet. Jeff, I think he was all right. Jeff hit the long ball, and I guess he played in that stadium too. That kind of hurt him. I guess that had to hurt him a little bit because after leaving Leak Park, that was a short right field fence, and he got in the stadium. That was a big ballpark there to hit in, and a lot of balls he did hit was caught.
He was a left-handed
left-hand batter. Left-hand batter. He had a lot of power.
Yeah. I guess he had a better time than Leak Park.
Like Leak Park. And I guess he kind of got him down every time he went in that big ballpark, I guess, so he didn't agree with him. Yeah. Then we had Merrill Hoke, and Merrill was a good ball player, good hustler.
How about Allie Reynolds? He didn't blossom until after the
war,
until after he went to the Yankees for Gordon.
Yeah, well, Reynolds was a workhorse. Reynolds, he went out there, he gave his best shot. He threw hard. Mm-hmm. And he lost a couple of tough ball games that year for us. He was a good man, Reynolds. Mm-hmm. If we had Feller at the beginning of the season, and with him in there and Red Embry, I think we could have taken that lead then, but we didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. We might have taken the American lead then, because we got Feller near the middle of the season. On July, we got Feller, and then we had Boudreau out, and I was hurt, but then I got banged up, because I was regular second base when I got hurt. And
when did this nose injury occur?
That was in Chicago.
Yeah, but I mean, early in the season?
Yeah, about the beginning of the season, yeah, but around June, in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. What were the circumstances? Just rough housing or infield practice?
No, it was during batting practice, Apollo Day. Hit one off the grass, and I went down and picked up, and I threw one back at him. He hit a shot, and I told him hit the next one harder. The next one hit the grass and ricocheted off the grass and hit me right in the nose, right between the eyes. Pushed the bone, broke the bone in there, and I started getting these headaches after.
Yeah.
And I never said nothing. I kept playing. And
did you finally get it fixed?
Well, the last game of my career, I got a busted nerve headache since. Or in Albuquerque.
Are you serious?
That's right. That's
you mean
the truth.
You had headaches for
headaches
years?
Headaches all the while. That's right. I had headaches all the time.
Until you broke it again.
Still up there hitting against Newcomb and them guys, and start the eyes will start to quiver, and you have to walk out and wipe your eyes and try and get the eyes focused again.
You should have gotten it fixed.
Yeah, and I couldn't wait for spring training to get the salt water to help it out. You know, that helped it a lot, relieved it a lot. And the last game of my career, I think, it was over in Albuquerque. The second ball pitched down the left field line, the guy hit this one. And the shortstop, he threw the ball in the second. When he did, the shortstop jumped in front of the ball, and I lost contact of it and got me right between the eyes and knocked the bone back in place. Broke the two bones, the lower two bones. That was the best move that ever happened. That makes sense.
That is amazing. It had to be the last game.
That was the best thing ever happened. That makes sense. Knock on wood.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was something. The last game of the season.
That's great. Yeah. Was Joe Heaving with that club?
Who?
Joe Heaving?
No.
He was 40-plus years old?
No.
What about Rocco? What kind of guy was he?
Mickey Rocco was a good man. Left-hand Harry was a happy, happy, lucky fella.
Yeah.
And he kept the ball club always happy. He was a good man. Rocco was a good man.
Mm-hmm. I understand the Boudreaux would assemble quite a coaching staff. I'm a little always there. Was McKechnie there at that time?
McKechnie was there. Bert Schotten was there. Mm-hmm. And we had Susie. He's with George Susie was there. And Oscar Malolo. Mm-hmm. They're a good bunch of fellows. Nice bunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a good staff.
Is there anything else that you'd like to comment on, either about the Indian season or about your teammates or any opposing ball players that stood out in your mind?
Well, Stevens was the one. I like Vern Stevens. He had a lot of power. He was a shortstop, and he was with St. Louis Browns. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of power in my mind. He could pull that ball, mm-hmm. hit with power. He was a good shortstop. I think Vern is dead now.
Yes, Ian Ellis Kinder died within a week of each other about 5 years ago.
Yeah. And when King Kong Keller came back, he was a big lift to the Yankees, you know, at that time.
He was strong.
He was a rough hitter. Yeah, he was rough. Uh-huh. Yeah, King Kong was rough. He was a rough hitter.
As an infielder, did you have to more or less accustom yourself to different infields? Can you categorize the infields according to Park?
I think the worst ballpark that year, I think, was the Browns ballpark, and Shea Park was the worst ballparks that we played on. Uh-huh. And the best ballparks was this Cleveland ballpark. That was that Municipal Stadium. That was a good ballpark. Mm-hmm. And
now, why did you say Sportsman's Park and Shea Park?
Well, I guess they were. They didn't get a chance to work on it because they had at that time you had St. Louis was playing on it, and it was a little baked, and the Phillies had your two ball clubs there in St. Louis.
Oh, I see what you mean. So it's being used all the time.
All the time, yeah. The Cardinals and the Browns worked in there, and they didn't have a chance to work on the infield. Like, when they won a road trip, they would dig it up and fix it up and rebuild it again for you, know. But they never had a chance to really work on it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where you were on VE Day?
VE Day?
The day Germany surrendered?
I think we were in Chicago. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, that year when I had those headaches, I didn't know where I was half the season, half the time. Because I was, you know, taking these drugs and all, and pain pills and all that, and just to play.
Yeah, so it must have been a miserable season.
Yeah, and that's right. In fact, I couldn't leave the hotel. Some hotels I had to stay in there. I couldn't go out and play a ball game. Like Philadelphia and places like that, I just had to stay. I couldn't go out.
Do you ever stop and wonder what might have occurred if you hadn't had the headaches?
That's right. That's
300
right.
Plus.
Well, Lou said I'd be good for 20 years up there. He told me, he said, if, you know, with the pair of hands I was, you know, known for feeling and all and play their position. He told me, so with your pair of hands, you're good for 20 years up here. So you know, I would play Pepper with Lou, and I'd take him anytime in a Pepper game or Cook game, and I used to love the feel.
Who was your roommate?
I had Pat Suri.
Uh-huh.
Pat.
Of course, I think Pat Suri in the official baseball lore is remembered as a good hit, no field man who was right out of beer belly.
That's right. Pat was a home run hitter, and sometimes he'd hit two or three out of the ballpark, and next time he'd strike out two or three times. And mm-hmm. But they say, like they say, he was no field. He was a good fielder in my book. He ran pretty good. For a heavy man, he ran good, mm-hmm. and he gave it his best shot. But the only throw with Pat used to get down on himself. He'd strike out once or twice, a man on base, and he'd get down on himself. And he'd mope, and he couldn't say nothing. He couldn't talk to him after a ball game. He took it too hard. Mm-hmm. I think after that, he had ulcers after that and had stomach trouble. He went across him, and that was his trouble. I think he gave
just a
worry-word, that's right. And it got the best of him. He couldn't talk to him about a ball game or say anything after the game because he was all tied up in it. Mm-hmm. Call his girlfriend up and worry. Struck out so many times, or he did this so many times wrong, and that was it.
What do you remember about the day Feller returned and beat the Tigers in Cleveland?
I think he pitched about a two-hitter that day. I think we beat him 2-1 or 1-0, 2-0. It was a packed house. And I think maybe he did drive in the winning run. I don't know. Maybe he did. I think we beat him 2-1 that day, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken.
Bob Meyer was recalling that game last night. He said Feller was superb.
That's right. I think he struck about 13 or more or 14 that night. And that was the first time I played behind my plates, I think, shortstop. Because that day, I believe, in just third base. And no work at all that day.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good day.
Just striking out. Just right. Beautiful.
Yeah, he was all right.
I'm sure that the crowd was appreciative.
Oh, yeah. They liked Feller. Yeah, they loved him up there.
Mm-hmm. Any other players in the club that I haven't mentioned? I don't have my roster with me, so I just have to think of them off the top of my head.
Well, we had Buddy Rosar.
Oh, that's
we
right.
Yeah, Buddy Rosar was with us. He was there with us. And, who the heck else did we have there with us?
Luther Nur remembers Rosar as a very religious person.
Yeah, Mackowitz, Felix Mackowitz, he was there with us. And Felix was an outfielder. Then we had Stan Benjamin, I believe he was there with us.
That's
Stan
right, Benjamin came back.
Came back, yeah, Stan was there.
Murtaugh remembers him.
Murtaugh. Did you see Murtaugh lately?
Yeah, he was my tenth interview.
Yeah.
I saw him 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, Danny was with the Rochester now. I was down. Him and Eddie Juice was a combination up there in Rochester. I was down with Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And we got talking up there in Rochester. And then as soon as we knocked him out of the playoffs up there that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Danny's a good man.
Anyone else that you can... Oh, I know something I wanted to ask you. Mickey Wittick mentioned to me earlier today that... Boudreaux had surrounded himself with good coaches, and he felt that one of the reasons why was because Boudreaux had enough to worry about on his shortstop. So if he had men who had been managers or who really knew their way around, they could more or less manage from the bench.
Manage, that's right.
Now, do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had Bert Shawn did a lot of work for him, and Melillo did a lot of work from on the bench, and Lou was, strictly part of the player's own position. Managing and all like that, like he had to worry about pitching staff and all that, and when to take a pitcher. That's what's rough on a manager, playing manager.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, he was just a young man then, too. He was only in his 30s then, or 20 or 30s then.
Yeah, he was still in his 20s, I think.
That's right. And he had his own troubles out there, we know. And like I said, Lou always had his mind on the next year coming up there, and he was a position, a shortstop. He'd play the hitters, and 9 out of 10 times where Lou was at, that's where the ball would be. And that's why I learned a lot from Lou playing in the infield. Remember the time we played Boston up there in Boston up in Fenway Park, and they had guys like Ginny and Bob Johnson and Rudy York. And the way it was, I think Ginny and Bob Johnson was on second base, and Rudy York was up, and Rudy York was a pull hitter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm playing short. They moved me right back to second base, and I'm scratching my head, I wonder what the heck is he doing. Moved me back of the pitcher, right in the back line of him. Guard the middle. And they pulled in Mackowitz in from left field to play a shallow left field. So he wanted him to pull the ball, and he pulled the ball right on the ground, right through shortstop. Mackowitz got the ball. The play worked perfect.
No kidding, really?
But the pre-lay to throw at home was a little too slow, and because it was a slow runner at second base. We let him score, and we could throw him right at home. We make a break there. Because he pulled the ball. He might hit one out of the ballpark and beat us, and that beat us the ball game. Next day, I got to blast him because I said the shortstop played out of position. You got to go by orders.
Right.
Yeah, so
you were on short.
That's right. I moved right back to second base. They guard the center, guard the middle. Stop hitting the ball through the middle this way. If I hit the hit through the middle, I was there. I'd protect the center, and I left the shortstop open. Figured that left fielder would throw him out at home,
mm-hmm.
and the team backfired on us.
Sure.
They worked good and all, but bad throw at home, and that was it. If we had a good throw, we'd have had him, and everything would have been perfect. We'd been a great play. Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask what your salary was that year? Did the Indians pay well, or were they
no? No, I got $400 a month that year. $400, no book.
For 12 months or just for?
No, 400 bucks, but for a regular ball season. So you figure out maybe four and a half, or was it four and a half? Well, say 5 months baseball season, the last 4.5 months. It's up to about $2,000.
Is that all?
$400. That's right.
Boy, oh boy! So they must have really been hurting.
Well, that's what they were. Befalls were getting $600 and some $700. That's right. Yeah.
$200 a month to play for a major league club.
$400 a month to play.
$400.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
$400.
Wow.
That's right.
Did you ever meet Alva Bradley? Was he still?
Bradley was there. He was the club. I never met him, but he used to always sit in the back of the dugout. I knew who he was. He always sat in the back of the dugout. Well, at that time, your salaries were low. They weren't that high. I think Reynolds at that time was only making about $700 that year. And every time Reynolds would win a ball game, he'd go to the front office and want more money.
No,
and that was one of the reasons he got sold to the Yankees. That was one of the big reasons why. He figured he should get as much money as Bob Feller did.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's not like today, baseball play. Oh, my gosh, you just put the suit on, they give you $15,000.
That's right.
Some of these kids today, they couldn't even play a good...
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you think of the game today?
Yeah, I think they're hurting it. The ballplayers are hurting it. The club owners, too.
I think it's
they're giving them too much. That's right. They're giving them too much, and they're spoiling them.
Mm-hmm.
You only get them so much. If your TV, I think if your TV stops it, right, baseball stops. You can buy a club for about $10,000 and they give it for nothing.
Yeah.
Your salaries are so high.
Right.
And they're getting the best of everything now. You're getting your skinned infields and good infield. And I don't, no good.
Why?
No good. I'd rather be out in the regular infield and take your chances on your regular field, on the ground field. Baseball started that way. That's the way you should finish. Your infield has no bad hops.
The artificial turf makes the game artificial.
That's right, artificially. There's no bad, you don't hit the bad hops. Like regular baseball, you get a ball hit to your shortstop and the ball takes a bad hop. But that's the chance you take. This way you've got perfect infields and there's no bad hops in the infield. And then you take a ball hit in the outfield, the ball's hit between the two outfielders, the ball bounces 20 feet in the air or so, and it fools the outfielders.
That's right. It's horrendous.
That's right. It's
Texas Lakers.
Texas goes up, and
right.
If you don't have the guys that can go get the ball in the outfield, your outfield is shot. Mm-hmm. You have to have speed out there now. If you don't play your hitter right, your whole ball game is gone to the dogs.
Al Brancato put it a nice way. He said back in my day, ball players played during the day and slept at night.
That's
now
right.
They play
that's
night
right.
And sleep during
it's
the day.
Cool. We played 90 degrees, 100 degrees. You played in it.